You're listening to the Legal Curve post-game podcast. I'm Richard Pollack, doing another solo cast, and in reality, they seem to all be solo casts these days. Drew Mandel is on this permanent vacation from attending Winnipeg Jets games, so I'll be doing this one alone, and tonight's game, Thursday, December 10th, against the Columbus Blue Jackets. And, you know, coming into the game, the Blue Jackets only 4 points behind the Jets in the Eastern Conference, or the league standings, I would say. Have played one more game, though, and after this game being 6 points back, and obviously playing against lesser competition in the Eastern Conference. But a game coming into it, you know, Columbus being as poor as they have been all year, in reality, the difference in points really shows you the parity in the league more than anything. I don't think it's an indictment of the Jets game as much as it shows you just the gap, and you know, a 4 point gap represents maybe the 15th to 10th or 15th to 9th as opposed to before, when it would certainly not be that kind of a spread. In any event, the Blue Jackets came to town, and after being called out by Coach John Tortorella last game against the Los Angeles Kings, and you think, okay, you know, Columbus is going to come out, they're going to come out firing, at least have a little bit of fight, or a lot of fight in them. And 27 seconds into the game, Mark Scheifele gets on the board from Drew Stafford and Matthew Perreault, clearly the best line on the ice tonight, moving the puck really well, creating speed, creating chances, off the rush especially, which they do quite well, and Scheifele gets on the board right away. In terms of that first goal, breaking it down, Perreault makes a nice pass in transition to Drew Stafford. He gets over the blue line, he drops it to Scheifele. Scheifele's got that quick shot, so you know what you want for that line really is to drive the puck over to Scheifele. Scheifele rips a quick shot, goes off the end boards, and Scheifele ends up being the guy who goes right to the net. You know, the advantage, of course, being the shooter, likely knowing that puck's going to hit the net or not going to hit the net, and give Scheifele credit, he follows his shot. And a lot of guys will peel off or they'll watch it. He follows his shots, goes to the net on the short side. On the other side, he shoots it from the right side, goes to the left side, gets it off the end boards, and pops in a rebound to make it 1-0. You know, great start for the Winnipeg Jets. Now, obviously, it's important to get the first goal, and the Jets had struggled this year, especially early on, getting the first goal, but as I said earlier, you know, the Columbus Blue Jackets talking about lack of, getting outplayed, and Tortorella calling them out, and boom, you get on them right away. You know they're fragile, and you get on them right away. And the Jets didn't stop there. The next goal at 2:22 of the first period, less than 2 minutes later, a huge one for the team in that it's Adam Lowry's first goal of the season, and we're in game 29. And if you had told me, or anybody really, I wouldn't have expected it. I don't think any fan would have expected it. Any observer from the Jets or otherwise would have thought that Adam Lowry wouldn't have a goal in the first 28 games. But he did in game 29, gets his first one. And this is a really nice job on this goal by Anthony Peluso. And, you know, say what you will about Peluso, and I've certainly been, you know, critical about his game overall, mostly being a fighter. But he gets it on the forecheck really well here. And is the first man in, then gets the puck off the boards, makes a pass back. The puck makes its way back to Dustin Byfuglien off the forecheck by Peluso. And Byfuglien's so good at having a high service shot, but also putting shots on net that are tippable. And this shot he puts towards the net, tippable by Lowry, who, give him credit, goes right to the dirty area. And Byfuglien's hard shot, tippable play. Lowry, good hands, puts it through, and it's 2-0 past McElhinney. Curtis McElhinney. And I got to tell you, McElhinney tonight, you know, Sergei Bobrovsky's out fairly long term. I believe it's 3 weeks. And Curtis McElhinney proved tonight why he's an NHL backup. Wasn't very good, but give the Jets credit for getting after him and getting after him quickly. Didn't stop there for the Winnipeg Jets in the first period. They got out to a 3-0 lead. This one's on the power play. The first two goals were even strength. The power play goal here, the reason the Jets were on the power play was a result of a penalty by Gregory Campbell on a stepping in for a teammate to try and defend a teammate. He got an instigator penalty, and so that gives him 2 minutes instigator penalty, 10-minute misconduct, and then 5 minutes for fighting Mark Stewart. It's funny. I find it interesting that they called the instigator, and it was a valid call. It should have been called, but they haven't really been calling the instigator as much this year as they have in past years. And anyhow, I think they got that one right. Jets are on the power play, and you can see Campbell trying to get his team going. Well, the Jets are on the power play there, and who is it? Dustin Byfuglien yet again. You know, we've talked at length about the contract negotiations that Dustin Byfuglien is going to be, but he's making himself some money. This is his eighth goal of the year, and of course, on the power play, pretty simple goal. You know, the Jets are in their format where you see Bufflin in the middle of the blue line in the offensive zone, and the puck comes to Matthew Perreault on his off wing. He makes a nice pass, an easy pass. You see it 100 times a game. But Bufflin takes a hard shot, and it goes right through. And this is one, talking about McElhinney, that McElhinney really does have to have. It's a hard shot from Bufflin, but it goes right through him in the five hole. It's 3-0 Jets. And, I mean, at this point, you're seeing the fans are into this to the extent that the Jets are up, but the fans know Columbus isn't any good. And you can kind of feel that in the arena. You know, the Jets know Columbus isn't great. The Jets were... You know, the Columbus isn't great as a team. I don't like their style, but they have some talented players. And the Jets let them hang around all night. And I'm not going to get too critical about that. I think you play a team that really doesn't have much out there. You get up to an early lead, and you're going to play like you have the lead. And the Jets did. Before the end of the period, and you know, to that point, before the end of the period, Columbus is able to get a goal and stay in the game. David Savard brings the puck in off the rush. And Boone Jenner, who had a good game, worked hard. He gets off in front, and Dustin Bufflin loses him. So, you know, Bufflin does have it, make his errors in the off in the defensive zone. He loses Jenner here on this play. And, you know, you could argue, I think probably fairly easily argue, that Jenner gets away with a little bit of a push-off here. He gets cross-checked to Bufflin on the back of the lower back. Bufflin moves, and, you know, he's hard to move, so he didn't suspect the play. A little trick play from Jenner. They didn't call it. He's able to create some space for himself. And the puck gets tossed in front, and Jenner's able to create space and put the puck past Hellebuck. Hellebuck actually tries to poke check the puck when it's going in front, but he misses it. And it's 3-1 at the end of one. Shots after the first period, 11 shots for the Jets and 5 for Columbus. I mean, the Jets really did control the play. The 3-1 score indicated that, certainly, but then the 11-5 shots indicated that as well. Going into the second period, I wondered if Columbus might make a goaltending change. They did not make a goaltending change. Kept McElhinney in. And Columbus, you know, this period the Jets controlled 15 shots to 7 shots the second period. But they didn't. They weren't able to get on the board. And, you know, you got to keep this. You want to try and put this team away. And in reality, I don't have any issue with what the Jets were doing. They were basically dominating the game. Columbus had 12 shots after two periods. But, you know, the second goal, I think, believe it was actually on the 12th shot, was a Scott Hartnell goal on the power play against the Winnipeg Jets. And on this goal, yeah, you have you have Ryan Johansson, who kind of played an off and on game. He makes a nice cross seam pass to Nick Foligno on his off wing. Foligno one times the puck, and the puck pops out in front, and Hartnell gets into the slot where he always is. And you see Jacob Trouba and Bremistrov. It may have been a bit of a mix-up there in terms of taking their guy, but Bremistrov just misses Hartnell's stick. And that's obviously a size mismatch, although Bremistrov's strong. And Hartnell's able to pick up the rebound and put it in the back of the net. And it's 3-2. And you're thinking to yourself, well, hey, you know, the Jets are dominating the game. Shots after two periods are 26-12. I mean, 12 shots on net. Credit to the Jets for sure for that. But, I mean, you have to try pretty hard to only get 12 shots on net in the National Hockey League through two periods of play. The Jets feeling pretty confident. And if they're going to take this game, you really thought, you know, you get a goal early in the third and just put it away. And maybe it didn't go exactly to script, but they did get the goal early in the third. It was Drew Stafford, that line again. This one at even strength, 4:03 into the third period from Bufflin and Perreault. On this goal, it was a nice little give and go. If I believe it was Scheifele and Bufflin. And the puck gets over to Matthew Perreault, who gets it back to Bufflin. You saw that, obviously, on the third Jets goal. And Bufflin puts a good shot on net. And this is his, third point of the night here, giving him 20 points on the year. Again, contract negotiations only going to drive up his price with his play right now. Puts a hard shot on net. The puck pops out, and Dalton Perreault loses the puck and loses the man. And when he doesn't know where the puck is, Drew Stafford, with his slick hands, picks it up from Prout's skates and puts it in the back of the net. It's 4-2. And again, you know, good things happening from that line. This one isn't off the rush as much as, I mean, they did bring the puck into the zone, if I recall, but more so just the puck movement, I thought, was terrific off this line tonight. And Bufflin was terrific for the Jets all night offensively. And overall, he played a really strong game. 4-2 for the Jets, 4:03 into the third period. Jets continue that. Make it 5-2, continue the momentum. Same line again. Matthew Perreault scores this time. This one is off the rush. And Perreault comes in off the rush here. And it's really just, you know, you create space for yourself. But he has such a deceiving shot. He has a good shot, and it's deceiving. And he kind of gets David Savard to bite here on the rush. And he curls that puck around Savard with good hands that he has and roofs it top glove side on Curtis McElhinney. 5-2 for the Jets. And you think, okay, you know, Columbus hung around long enough. This game's done. And, well, it ended up being a victory for the Winnipeg Jets. Columbus made it interesting, and specifically Cam Atkinson. He scored at 13:21 of the third period to make the score 5-3 from Alexander Wenberg, who I thought played a pretty solid game here tonight. That goal was a one-time goal by Atkinson on a pass from Wenberg. There's a turnover in the Jets' own zone here, and what happens is you have Ben Chiarot gets the puck in his own zone. He's going to the right side, and the reason I bring that up is because that's his backhand side. And Matt Calvert, the Brandon native, comes in, and he body checks Chiarot, and Chiarot turns the puck over. Really nice play by Calvert to create the turnover, similar to what Peluso did earlier in the game for the Jets. The puck pops to Wenberg. Wenberg puts the puck in front of the net to Atkinson, who played a good game, and Atkinson puts it in behind the net. Wenberg in front of the net to Atkinson, and the Jets weren't able to recover from the turnover. It's 5-3. Okay, you know, 13:21 into the third period, so not much time, less than 7 minutes remaining. And Jets still in control at 5-3. Well, it got even more interesting with 18:16 into the third period. Of course, less than 2 minutes remaining. Columbus scores. It says even strength here, but that's deceiving in terms of even strength. This is what happens here is at 17:27 of the third period, Thorburn and Hartnell take... you know, they take coincidental penalties. And you could say, oh, Hartnell for Thorburn, that's not a good trade for Columbus. But it's a great trade if you can create more space. And they are, because a coincidental penalty leads to 4-on-4, which allows for 5-on-4, which allows for a power play without the ability to ice the puck. Columbus takes advantage of that. Atkinson, once again, with good hands, he's in the back door in this play. The puck's moved real well by Columbus. And Ryan Murray gets a puck on a one-timer at the top of the blue line on the power play. Blake Wheeler comes out, blocks it, give him credit, gets in the way. And when the puck pops out to Dubinsky on the right side of, I guess, left side of Hellebuck, on the right side if you're looking from the blue line in, and because Wheeler's hobbling, Byfuglien has to come out and help. When Byfuglien helps, the puck is passed by Dubinsky to... Wenberg. Byfuglien comes at Wenberg. When Wenberg makes the pass, he makes the pass to Dubinsky in front. Dubinsky's in, needs to be covered by Myers, and then that leaves Atkinson back door, and Dubinsky makes an effort for the puck, comes to Atkinson back door, and he puts it past Connor Hellebuck. Not much of a chance there, and less than 2 minutes remaining. It's a 5-4 game, and the building is a little bit panicked, and rightfully so. You know, the Jets outplay Columbus certainly tonight, but let them hang around, and again, you're playing against a team that's not great. It's sometimes tough to keep your focus and be motivated, but the Jets could have played a better defensive game tonight. Columbus did push, had a chance, you know, made a stupid or two play at the blue line there. Jets made a good effort, and Blake Wheeler puts it away at 19:15 into the third period, 45 seconds remaining from Brian Little. Empty net goal, his 10th of the season, and the Jets are able to walk away with a 6-4 victory. In terms of the goaltending numbers, Connor Hellebuck, 4 goals allowed on 29 shots, and McElhinney, 5 goals allowed on 34 shots. So you see Columbus with 17 shots in the third period. You do see the teams that are usually behind outshooting the opposition when chasing game and the opposition plays in a defensive role. But that's quite a lot of shots that the Jets gave up in the third. Nonetheless, they were the better team tonight, and they deserve to win. In terms of ice times, the leader for the Jets, unsurprisingly, was Dustin Byfuglien at just under 25 minutes. He had a goal and 2 assists, 3 points, of course, and a plus 1, playing in all aspects of the game, 20 minutes, 30 seconds at even strength, 2.5 minutes on the power play, and just under 2 minutes on the penalty kill. Second on the Jets in ice time was Tyler Myers, who was also very good tonight, I thought. And third was Jacob Trouba. So all 3 right side guys get big time ice time for the Winnipeg Jets. And you did see Jacob Trouba play with Dustin Byfuglien at times in tonight's game. Well, there you have it. Thursday night, Jets win 6-4. They are on the plane to Chicago, probably very shortly, similar to last Saturday, of course, when they left after the Washington game and played in Chicago the next day. So interesting to see who you'll see in net. I would guess it'd be Michael Hutchinson. I'd probably have guessed that before the game, but Hellebuck didn't have the best game. Still won, though. Made some big saves when it mattered, but I expect Hutchinson to be in tomorrow night. And we'll be on Saturday afternoon on the Legal Curve Hockey Show at noon to 3 to recap this game more extensively and, of course, tomorrow's Chicago Jets game. That's it for the Legal Curve post-game podcast. Hope you have a good night.